طيب، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue إن شاء الله the explanation of سورة الليل. And the last thing we talked about is that the hidayah of tawfiq, the hidayah of success, is restricted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the evidence for this is in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 56, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ. Verily, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills. And if we examine this verse, chapter 92, verse 12, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى. Truly indeed, on us is to give guidance. We will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed had made everything clear in terms of creed, as well as what people need in worships, in matters of worship, or in terms of morality and in transactions, as well as what to avoid in all of that, until even to the degree that Abu Dharr, may Allah be pleased with him, said, لَقَدْ تُوُفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم died. وَمَا طَائِرٌ يُقَلِّبُ جَنَاحَيْهِ فِي الصَّمَاءِ إِلَّا ذَكَرَ لَنَا مِنْهُ عِلْمًا. And except that no bird flying the skies, turning its wing in flight, except he صلى الله عليه وسلم told us about it some knowledge. In reference to the fact that the Sharia has been completed. And a man from the mushriks told Salman al-Farisi, عَلَّمَكُمْ نَبِيُّكُمْ حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ. قَالُوا أَجَلْ. قَالَ أَجَلْ عَلَّمَنَا حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَ. Your prophet taught you even the manner of how to respond to the call of nature. He said, yes, he told us the etiquettes of how to respond to the call of nature. That's what it means. He told us the etiquettes of how to respond to the call of nature. In fact, this is what the Prophet ﷺ even taught his ummah. And in support of this is the great verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah in chapter 5, verse 3, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today I have completed your religion for you, and I have perfected my favor upon you, and I have accepted Islam for you as your deen. Now to the next verse, inshallah, verse number 13. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. And truly unto us belong the last, which is the hereafter, and the first, which is this world. Now we know that the life of this world precedes the life of the hereafter in terms of its timing. But in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about it after He mentioned the hereafter. And in this, there are two benefits. In this manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related it in this verse, there are two benefits. First one is ma'nawiyya, of a real significance, and the other is lafzi, is literal. As to that of the real significance, that is because al-akhirah, the hereafter, is more important than this life. And in the hereafter, the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will manifest itself completely and perfectly. And in this life, however, there are presidents, there are kings, there are leaders who possess what Allah had given them from possessions or kingship and so forth. But in the hereafter, لا ملك لأحد. There can be no possession to anyone. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks in the hereafter, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. To whom the mulk, the kingdom belongs on this day? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. To Allah, the one and unique, the one who subdues all creatures, and who is above all creation. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here made the mentioning of the hereafter come before the mentioning of this life. For this real significance which you heard. The second, there is in this case also a literal benefit, giving consideration to the last letters at the end of each verse. Giving consideration to the last letters at the end of each verse. Because at the end of each verse there is an alif at the end. There is an alif at the end. So if he would have said وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ, then the consideration to the last letter would not be met. So that's why in this case he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also from the literal aspect said الْأُولَى at the end, so that it will fit with the rest of the ends of the verses. So if someone says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى, to us indeed belongs the, on us is to give guidance. وَإِنَّ لَنَا, look, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا meaning on us. And in the second part, وَإِنَّ لَنَا, and truly unto us is the hereafter and this life. So what is the difference? The difference is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it incumbent upon himself to show guidance and to guide people and make things clear to creation. As to the kingdom, then it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the possession of the hereafter and of this life. All the kingdom is his. That's why he said, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى, and to us belongs the hereafter and this one. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. In the next verse, please. Therefore I have warned you of a blazing fire, hell. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. أَنذَرْتُكُمْ meaning warned you, so that you fear it. نَارًا refers to the fire of the hereafter. تَلَظَّى, blazing fiercely. And the fire has many descriptions in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says then after that, none shall enter it, have entered it, save the most wretched. لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى. None will burn in it except the most wretched. Meaning that upon which wretchedness has been ordained. And wretchedness is the opposite of happiness. As in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud 11:106, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقَوْا فَفِي النَّارِ. As for those who are wretched, then they will be in the fire. In Surah Hud, yes, verse 106, in Surah Hud chapter 11. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا فَفِي النَّارِ لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ. As for those who are wretched, they will be in the fire sighing in a high and low tone. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Also as in Surah Hud, the close verse 108, in contrast, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And those who are blessed, they will be in paradise, abiding therein for all the time that the heavens and the earth endure, except as your Lord wills, a gift without an end. So what's meant by al-ashqa here, the wretched, is the one upon whom happiness has not been preordained. He is the one who will suffer the fiercely blazing fire of hell. We seek refuge in Allah from that. Then after that, he made it clear why he didn't deserve to be from those who are blessed and happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in the next verse, الذي, this is his description, الذي كذب وتولى. The next verse, who denies and turns away. He denies in response to what he is being informed from the news and what is told concerning the revelation and the messengers and so forth. And at-tawalli, tawalla, in response to the command, he turned away from the command and from the prohibitions, he didn't fulfill them. So he belied what was told and didn't believe in it. It was told to him that you will be resurrected. قَالَ لَا أُبْعَثْ, I will not be resurrected. It was told to him that there will be paradise and fire and hell. He said, there is nothing of this type, no Jannah, no fire of hell. It was told to him that there will be such and such, and he said, nothing of that will be. This is takdeed, this is denying. Then tawalla, then turned away from obedience to Allah, and turned away from the messages brought by the messengers. This is the wretched. This is the description of the wretched. And in turn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى, that the atqa, the pious and the righteous, will be saved and will be far removed from it, from hell. Meaning the one who really feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he should be feared, then more of his qualities, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى, the one who spends his wealth to those who deserve it as a way of purification for his wealth and for himself as well. قال الله تعالى, in this respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this respect, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ, as in Surah At-Tawbah 9:103. Take alms from their wealth in order to purify them and sanctify them with it, and invoke Allah for them. Verily your invocations are a source of security for them, and Allah is the all hearer, all knower. So in his saying, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى, the one who spends his wealth for increase in self-purification, it tells us that he is not extravagant, and at the same time he is not a miser. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بَرَكَاتُهُ. So he gives his alms as in a form of self-purification, and the criteria for all of this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan in 25:67, where he said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا, and those who when they spend are neither extravagant nor niggardly, but hold a medium way between these two extremes. We find that some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon them some wealth, however, he is a miser. Even that which is obligatory upon him to spend on his wife, he withholds it. And the same with respect to his children and his kins. He doesn't establish this spending, this lawful spending which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condones. On the other side, we find some people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricted the wealth upon him somehow, yet despite of that he goes and borrows money from people in order what? To add things that are secondary to his house, so that it becomes like the house of such and such, or that he goes and buy uh, a car, a very expensive car, an eloquent car, just because it is like the car of such and such person, or the model driven by such and such person, and both ways, and both are false methods to follow and follow and to be pursued. Because they are of two extremes. And what's dutiful upon the person is that his spending must correspond to his status. His spending should correspond to his status, his conditions. So if someone now says, is it permissible for someone to go and borrow money so as to spend it in charity? The answer is no. Because charity is a voluntary action. On the other hand, borrowing money is something very binding and also dangerous. It is not something lightly to be taken, because if man dies and there is money due upon him, then his soul is linked to that which is dutiful upon him until that is paid off on his behalf. And many of those who are inheritors, they don't care about the debt of the deceased. You find them delay it and defer it, and sometimes they don't even abide to fulfill it. While we know that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته, إذا قدمت إليه جنازة سأل هل عليه دين. If a funeral is presented before him so that he will make the funeral prayer on it, he would ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, is there debt on him? Are there people who will fulfill that which is dutiful upon him? So if they say no, he would say صلوا على صاحبكم, go and pray on your companion, as reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. We also know that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, in the authentic hadith reported by Muslim, told us that martyrdom for the sake of Allah will expiate everything except debt. So this issue is of a great importance, and a person and man should not take that really lightly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after this in the same surah, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. And have in his mind no favor from anyone for which a reward is expected in return. So he doesn't give the money, you know, as a reward for some favor done to him before from some person. So no favor from anyone is upon him, so as to give him in return a kind of reward, meaning spent upon him. However, he spends seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he said right away, إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. He who spends his wealth, increase, etc. Except only the desire to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This countenance, Sister Ahmad, this is one of the mistakes of the translation. This is one of the mistakes of the translation of the meaning, and it's good that it came here, so that in the future, inshallah, we correct it and we say, except only the desire to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Jazakallah khair. So he spends only seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to attain the abode of Anar, which is paradise, in which he will be given the great reward bestowed upon him from Allah, and that is the actual seeing of Allah's face. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those believers who will see his face in the hereafter. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And he will be certainly satisfied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please him by making him enter paradise and will give him the great reward. And this is made clear in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 261. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. The likeness of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is as the likeness of the grain of corn. It grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains, and Allah gives manifold increase to whom He pleases, and Allah is all sufficient for His creatures' needs and the all knower. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those pure, honored, and righteous. He is the one who is able to do all things. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of Tafsir Surah Al-Layl, which is based upon the explanation of our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.